Grab out your Bible and something to take some notes. We are in part three of our series called Toxic People. All right. I love the title because it makes us all a little on edge as we go into week number three. Because chances are you are waiting for like your name to be called, your number. If week one or week two wasn't your number, chances are you fall in week three or week four. And I enjoy stepping on all of the toes, including mine. So this is just a fun series for us. Our theme verse is out of 2 Timothy. Watch this. Paul's writing to Timothy about how we should live as Christians. His last letter written before he leaves this earth. And he says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and patient with difficult people. Now, we have tattooed that on our foreheads because we do not like it. We have put that on our fridges and our bumper stickers. No, we have all, like, shut our Bibles and locked them away because we don't like this idea of patience with difficult people. We like arguments with difficult people. We like setting people straight with difficult people. We like slapping upside the head difficult people. But the last thing in the world we want to do is be patient with difficult people. And so this series, Toxic People, you may, if you haven't heard any of the other ones, you may be asking, well, who are these toxic people? Who are these difficult people that I'm supposed to have patience with? Well, week one, we talked about overly needy, emotional people. Week two, we talked about those manipulative people and how do we deal with them in a Christ-like way? How do we deal with our own desperate desire to control? Week three, we're going to talk about all of those hypocritical people. Come on, somebody. Today is week three, the day of the hypocrites. So let's do it. I've asked you a question every week so far. Just a show of hands. How many of you know a Christian who says one thing but does another? Anybody you know a hypocritical Christian? Anybody? Yeah, all right. So we'll just put that one. Now, all of you are waiting for question two. Have you noticed in church, question two is always more fun. That's always so fun. Like everybody just, question one, we're with you, pastor, but ask me questions. So here we go. How many are sitting next to a hypocrite? Just hands down, everybody hands. Unless a person on your left and your right is raising their hand, you should listen closely today. Hypocrites. We're going to talk about hypocritical people. Really, the number one criticism you will hear about the church, especially in America, the number one criticism you will hear about Christians that people will say is, oh, that church or all those Christians or all of those people, all they are is a bunch of what? Bunch of hypocrites. I just can't. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus. You're just kind of stumbling in church today or you're watching online and you're not a Christian. And that's your, maybe that's what you, I would go to church, but it's just full of a bunch of hypocrites. I would be a Christian, but there's just too many. To you, I would just say, please do not let that keep you from coming to church. We always have room for one more. Come on, somebody. We always. You get that later. That's funnier to me than it is to you. Listen, the reality is we can all be some kind of hypocrite. We can all have a little bit of hypocrisy. Now, maybe if you haven't been raised around the term hypocrite, this makes no sense to you. You say it, you know, you say a word enough and it doesn't even become a real word in your mind. That's how I am in preparing for this message, but I'm going to try to work my way through. We're going to start with maybe a definition, just a starting place, because I know all of us, we're not thinking of a definition, we're thinking of a person. We're thinking of an action. We're thinking of saying one thing and another, but the root word of hypocrite, the word that actually gets translated hypocrite in your Bible. So this is the word from the Greek. We're going to kind of define and then we'll talk about the people. All right, we'll get there. Just kind of stick with me. But the root word is actually hypocrites. And in the New Testament, if you're taking notes, this word, it means an actor. It means a play actor, like on a stage. It means someone who's pretending to be something that they're not. And the word that's translated in the Greek, in your New Testament, it's this word picture, it's this idea of a Greek play that maybe you've seen or you've seen a picture of, where the actor would be standing, but they would hold a mask on a stick right in front of their face, and maybe this mask would be smiling. All right, and then they go backstage and they come back with another mask and this one is angry or maybe it's a surprised face and they're holding. It's this idea of an actor. It's this idea of portraying something, but it's not really the real thing. It's this face on the front. Jesus, over and over again, he would use this word and he's never, ever soft on hypocrisy. Like you never see Jesus like super merciful and super like, I'm gonna take it really easy on the hypocrites. I'm just going to lay off them. In fact, there's one verse that really captures to me the problem of this. Watch this in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and he calls them as he says, you hypocrites. Here's that word, hypocrites. This is the word. You play actor who holds the mask in front. You try to portray one thing, but it's not really the actual thing. Jesus says, you hypocrites. And then he quotes a prophet from the Old Testament. He says, the prophet Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In other words, these people, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. They say really big and holy things, but there's no chance that what's behind that mask is actually what they want you to believe. They say one thing, but their hearts are far from God, and they don't live that way. They're actors. They say one thing, they live another. And tragically, this can be a common problem. And here we go, even amongst ourselves. For example, all right, let me just give you, I was hunting for an example of this. And honestly, it took me going back and looking at my sermon notes to figure out how I could find the best example. About a year, maybe a little more than a year ago, it was a Wednesday here on campus. And so I'm working on the sermon for Sunday. I'm trying to like piece together something, trying to look at some verses and trying to just kind of get my week in order. And I kid you not, on this particular Wednesday, that Sunday sermon was going to be out of Romans, having the same attitude towards each other that Christ had towards you. That we would love one another, that there would be unity in the church, that we would love each other the same way that Christ loved us, that humility is never the easy choice, but it's always the right one. It's a great sermon. You should go listen to it on the podcast. It's amazing. Barn burner. But right when I got finished, I'm like, done. Right about then, I had to go pick up the food for the midweek meal for Wednesdays. Now listen to me, Katie and the team do an incredible job on midweek. Like they have taken over. Right now there's no stress in my life on Wednesdays. I show up, I eat, it's amazing. Come on somebody, you should show up too. Not this Wednesday because there's Thanksgiving, but next Wednesday you should come to midweek, all right? It's amazing. But back when we first started midweek, what happened on Wednesdays is Nick and I would just run around like chickens with our head cut off trying to find food for that night. That's how it started. Like there was a lot of stress in my life. So it was on me that Wednesday. That was my Wednesday to go get the food. And so I'm stressed. I'm late. All right. I'll just admit that to you right now. I can't get out of there fast enough. I'm late. I'm down there at Flannery and Old Hammond at the Brother's Chicken. Come on, somebody. That is the Lord's Chicken right there at the corner. I'm inside. I'm late. They forgot to drop the fryer. It's a bad time. And I come out. I get in my truck. I'm already like people are here and they're hungry. And I'm so late that I made a driving mistake. Now, that may shock some of you. But this is the one mistake I have made in 20 years of driving, all right? That is the one time that your pastor has messed up. Because it's getting a little bit dark, and so I come, if you know that intersection, I came out of the gas station, and I decided I'm late, I'm going to turn left, which is impossible out of that station. If you know where I'm talking about, there's no chance with the traffic. You don't do it. But I'm going to do it, right? So I nosed myself out there. In typical Louisiana fashion, right, I put my car where I need to be. And so I'm about to turn left, and I'm like, I'm just going to, and if you know this intersection, I'm blind to the right. Like, you just have to guess and pray and just do. I'm about to, like, I come out, and a car comes by at, like, 1,000 miles an hour. And so I slam my brake. They lay on their horn and, like, almost stop in front of me. And they're waving their hand at me and shaking, and then they keep going. So I pull out behind them. And I'm like, whew, like we saved. Now, listen to me. I'm still already late. And it is my personal, I was wrong. Yes, I should not have pulled out in front. Yes, I was wrong. But it is my personal opinion. If you honk your horn at me, then you still have to go the speed limit. Come on, somebody. Like, you have to. And so now I'm stuck behind Mr. Magoo coming down Flannery Road. People are here starving. They need their pastor to come with the food. I'm stuck behind this. And so we're going. We cross Goodwood, right? We're coming down past the parks and things. We're coming along. And I'm not tailgating, but I'm close. Come on, somebody. I'm not where I should be. And so we come along. We're coming by the McDonald's, the Jack. We come up to the Florida light, and the light turns yellow. Now, I know that that's the longest yellow light in Louisiana. That's the longest in the state. You can fit 5 cars, a school bus, and, like, brush your teeth in the time it takes you to come across this light. And, of course, they slam their brakes. So I slam my brakes. Now, I'm sitting behind them. Now, I'm doing all of the things that we do when we're frustrated. Come on, Pete. Don't be so holy in church. I'm waving my hands. I'm doing, like, they can see my shadow, right? I'm, like, I'm doing the thing, like, how can you even go this? I'm in a place, all right? Light turns green, we cross over, we come by the statue shop, the auto auction, we keep coming through, right? I'm angry, I'm still right up there. We cross over Choctaw, we cross the railroad track. We're coming through the woods, come on, baby, we're going. Some of you have guessed. They start slowing down, and I'm like, uh-oh. They put on their blinker signal. I'm like, oh, double uh-oh. Yes, and they turn into church for midweek. Come on, somebody. You know what I did? I passed us right up, just kept right on. I headed right back on here. I pulled in at Sugar Mill Ridge. I pulled in the front of the subdivision, counted to 30. And then I came back with the food. If you were there that night, that's why I was about 4 minutes late. And now I'm praying over the food. Romans is long gone. Like, that's not even a thought in my mind. The attitude of Christ is in the rearview mirror. It is long. Now I'm praying, oh Lord, bless the fellowship tonight. Oh Lord, bless the people. Oh Lord, blind the eyes of your people, oh Lord. Just close their, wipe their memories, oh Lord. Hey, now listen to me. I still preached the sermon Sunday morning. Convinced all of you how holy I was. So all you people, what is that? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy in its finest form. Because we will say one thing. We will preach one thing. We will be holier than thou about one thing, but our actions don't even show it in the slightest. Hypocrisy. Now, they don't let me go get the food anymore. I don't know why. They just don't. Listen, the reality is, all of us, many of us unknowingly, we will say one thing, but our actions preach another. And listen to me, it is without a doubt, it's the problem of hypocrisy. And I guarantee, no matter where you are, even at midweek, you will be rubbing shoulders with hypocrites wherever we are. And sometimes they're rubbing shoulders with us. And it may be the guy at work who's like, I'm super spiritual. I went to church on Sunday and here's the sermon and here's the message. And next thing you know, he's the one like fudging numbers and going home and verbally abusing his family. And like maybe it's the super spiritual like youth kid, right, who shows up on Wednesday nights. He's the super spiritual warrior, but then they're cheating on tests and partying on the weekend. All of us know these people. Some of us maybe more closely than we'd like. Or maybe it's the woman who's like super spiritual. I'm Christian woman. I'm the one who does it. And they're like, and I pray for everyone. And really what they mean is I gossip about the entire church. Like, we need to pray for so-and-so. Oh, have you heard how bad so-and-so is? They are terrible. Have you seen this? I've seen this several times where it's like, oh, pastor, I need to tell you about so-and-so. And it's not because they want to see healing. It's because they need everyone to, like, everyone knows. It's the gossip. And we have that in our lives where we say one thing and our actions say something. What is it? Hypocrisy. And God hates it. He hates it. So the question then, when we're dealing with hypocritical people, what is our role as Christians? We're going to talk about hypocritical people. We've done this 2 weeks now, third week. If we're going to deal with them, what's our role as Christians? Now, if you're in here and you're like, hey, I'm not a follower of Christ. I'm just here to like find out that I'm not really following Jesus. Right? That's great. Take this week off. All right? I'm not even talking to you. You just sit back and relax and enjoy. Because today I'm talking to Christians. What's our role then? And I'm asking, do we have a role? If we're going to get involved with hypocritical people, do we even like, or should we just hands off? Like, I don't need that kind of fire in my life. I don't need that kind of problem or drama. Like, hands off. I want to talk for a moment what I would consider the two extremes. Because the first one is what we would call in Louisiana, right? The laissez-faire. This is the hands off. Like, I'm not messing with this. Judge not, lest you be judged. I don't need to get involved. Like, that's problems. I got 99 problems, but the hypocrite's not one of them. I don't want to deal with that. And it's hands off. It's never actually walking anybody through restoration or seeing them healed. We actually don't even care. We're just like, it's not my business. You do your thing, I'll do mine. I don't care if you're in sin. We'll just let it be. That's one extreme that I think is wrong. But then the other extreme, which is the hyper-confrontational, inwardly judgmental, nitpicking the small things that don't matter anyway, without love, blowing up people's lives type of Christianity. And nothing, I think, has done more harm to the cause of Christ than that attitude. And so I would say that's the wrong extreme as well. It's confrontation without any love. It's hypocritical, judgmental, always breathing down someone's throat. Well, you did this wrong and you did that wrong and I'm going to blow up your life and I just need to be right. Do we have a role somewhere in between? Because you see it in the Old Testament, God would raise up prophets. So God would raise up a prophet to come to the people and he would talk. He'd be like, look, you follow Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but you're also following these other idols. And so you need to leave those in the dust. You need to tear down those altars. You need to get those out of your life. You need to come back and be true to the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God would raise up prophets. You see it in the New Testament, in Galatians. Paul opposes Peter to his face. Peter, like the top of the church at the time. Paul, in front of everybody, is like, hey, I need to oppose you to your face. Why? Because Peter was a hypocrite. Peter was eating with the Gentiles and doing life with them and doing all these things. And then suddenly, when this small contingent of Jewish people show up, these hyper-religious, honestly far from God, they show up and they try to change things. Peter all of a sudden is like, oh, I can't eat with those people anymore. Oh, I can't be seen with them because of the circumcision crowd. And so Paul's like, hey, I got to oppose you to your face. This is hypocrisy. This is wrong what you're doing. You can read Matthew 6 and watch Jesus confront hypocrisy 3 times. Jesus is like, hey, when you give, don't give to be seen. That's hypocrisy. Jesus is like, hey, when you pray, don't pray to be heard. That's hypocrisy. When you fast, don't walk around like, ooh, I'm fasting. Like, everybody look at me, how great I am. I'm fasting. That's hypocrisy. We're watching over and over again. As Christians, we have a call to help other Christians who are living in a way that is different than the teachings of Christ. There is a call on our lives. And so for the third week, I want to approach this with 3 different attitudes of prayer. 3 postures of prayer. Because listen to me, if we go at this in any different way than prayer, chances are we will get this wrong in a fantastic way. We will get this wrong in, so often we come at this from every other attitude. We come at this, well, I know exactly what to say. I don't need prayer, Pastor. I know exactly what to tell them. I know exactly how to handle this. I know exactly what needs to. No. We need the Holy Spirit of God to work in our hearts, to give us the attitude of Christ, to give us the attitude that will actually bring back healing. And so I want to look at Galatians chapter 6, the first couple of verses, and draw our first couple of prayers from there. First prayer that you'll need to do, if you need to confront someone who's living in hypocrisy, here's the first prayer that we are going to pray. And that is, God, help my motive always be restoration. Lord, if we're going to confront, if you've called us to be in this moment, if you've called us to confront this hypocrisy, then God, let our motive always be healing and restoration. Let it always be restoration. Galatians chapter 6, Paul said, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, if someone's caught, you who live by the Spirit, one translation says, you who are spiritual, which I love, that's just the thing, you who are so spiritual, you should restore that person gently. Go and help them be restored to God. Here's the problem. For holier-than-thou judgmental Christians, when they go and confront, their goal is not to restore gently. Their goal is to simply be right. When they go to confront, listen, your goal, if I can just put it as plainly as that, your goal is not just being right. It's great. Be right. It's great. Seek the word of God. Definitely be on sure footing, because other than that, we got bigger problems than that. But that's not your override. That's not the great goal. The goal is not just being right. The goal is helping someone be right with God. The goal is not just how do I make myself feel good that I did what I needed. No, the goal is restoration. He says, brothers and sisters, if someone's caught, you who live by the Spirit should not be so proud that you live by the Spirit. You who live by the Spirit should not hang it over that person's head that you are right and they are wrong. No, you should restore them gently. I'll give you an example. For years, probably 3 or 4 years, there was an area of hypocrisy in my life. And so this is like 10, 12 years. I used to preach like 3 or 4 times a year. That was it. And I was really bad, but I was confident. Come on, somebody. Like, it was just. And so I would preach 3 or 4 times, and there was something, I'm not going to say what it was. There was something that I made fun of when I would preach. And I won't say what it was, something that I should not have taken lightly and I shouldn't have made fun of. Something, an issue, something that someone would deal with. And I did it 2 Sundays in a row. I had an opportunity to preach twice in a row. And so I did it 2 Sundays in a row. And I'll never forget, after the second Sunday, this couple that I love dearly, that I knew very, very well, that I love. The husband approached me, and the wife's kind of standing back. And this is back when we had the curtains. Anybody remember the curtains, the big silver curtains? Anybody? Yeah, we hated those. All right. Well, we sat on a pew right behind one of those, back in this back area. And he just looked at me, and I remember he looked, and he said, I want you to know I love you. I'm so proud of all that God's doing in your life. It's incredible to see all these different things. I just want to encourage you and do. But I would just say this one area, that there are people who struggle, and he used the word mightily, in this. And I realized in that moment, you know how you have a sudden, I realized that he was talking about himself and his wife. And you can call me like young and dumb. You can call me whatever you want. You can make fun of me. Honestly, call me stupid, whatever. It was the first time I realized that I was talking to people and not like a crowd. And the first time I realized that, like, being up on the stage, it doesn't make me more holy. It actually should make me more of a servant. And it was in that moment, and listen to me, because somebody cared enough to do it in the right way, to confront, and he didn't even say like this, or that. He was just like, I would just ask if you would pray about it. If you would just pray. And I realized that I had been the hypocrite. That I had been the one who didn't care. I was the one. What happened? God used someone whose goal was restoration to confront in a way that was loving to see healing come about. And listen, if God would ever call you, use you, put you in a position to do that, to confront someone, here's what would do. If you confront in love, if you confront with restoration, here's what Scripture says that you've done. James chapter 5, it says, my brothers, if one should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Brother to brother, sister to sister, there are times where God will call you to bring someone back to restoration, to bring someone back from an area of hypocrisy. But it always has to be with the motive to restore. Number two, if you ever need to confront, here's the second prayer we're going to pray. And that is, then God, help me guard my own heart. Help me be careful when I confront. Help me confront with caution. And listen, I'm not talking about like bodily harm, all right? Now, that is a concern sometimes when you confront. There have been times where I've had to say things in my role as pastor where I am thankful for like the table or the desk between us. Like it just happened. There was one time I'm in the office and it's just me and him. And he left so angry. I was like 50-50. He's going to the truck for a gun. Come on, somebody. Like, I'm just like, and so I promise, here's what, he left out this office door. I went around the back, snuck out through the playground back here, all the way to Spanish Road. I was like, nope, not hanging around for this. I don't know what's coming, but it's not going to be me there. That's just that's not what I mean, though, all right? Be cautious. When I say careful when you confront, that's not what I'm talking about by careful. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 again. Brothers, if someone's caught, brothers and sisters, if they're caught in the sin, restore that person gently. Watch this. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Be careful. Watch yourselves. This is a theme for Paul, because watch what he tells the church in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10. He says, so if you think you are standing firm, so brothers and sisters, be careful, be cautious, watch yourself. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Here's the deal. Whenever you confront someone, beyond any other things that we can talk about in just a moment, but maybe beyond all of them, you are always vulnerable in that moment to the sin of pride. You say, well, why pride? Well, you're the one confronting. You're the one, or you must be super spiritual. You must have everything on track. You must be the one that has, you're the godly one. And if you're not careful, pride will well up. And pride always comes before what? Pride, Scripture says, always comes before the fall. Be careful if you think you're standing firm. Take heed, one translation says, lest you fall, so that you don't fall. Here's the deal. If you feel passionate about a sin, if you feel passionate enough to confront it, chances are there's a reason you feel so passionate about that sin. It may be an area of weakness for you. It may be something that has impacted your life greatly, and so you see the pitfalls and you see what may be coming. Whatever the reason, you have to be so careful when you confront. For example, I'll just keep giving you examples today. Because, you know, confession is good for the soul and terrible for the reputation. For example, I have a lot of conversations with church staff or other pastors or people in ministry. I have a lot of conversations where I will warn and say, like, be careful in not sacrificing your family to the ministry. Be careful in not, like, burning out. Don't neglect. Don't sacrifice your kids on the altar of ministry. Like, take the breaks. Don't mess up and let your schedule overwhelm you. Make sure there's a Sabbath. Make sure. I come back to it a lot. And so I'm having that conversation with somebody, a friend of mine, also in the ministry. I'm having the conversation. You need to get home to your family. You need to take care of your kid. You need to do that. And somehow the conversation like turned from their schedule and the things that they need to change. And all this. Somehow it turned to like a question of, well, what does your schedule look like? And I was like, well, no, we're not talking about me. We're talking about you. Come on, somebody. We're not. Oh, holy Lord, we're not talking about you. And somehow, and I had to, like, in that moment, because I couldn't see the conversation. They were pretty dogged about, like, well, then what does, because I want to write down some notes. What does it look like? And I had to come back to the, like, well, you know, on Wednesdays, I go get them. No, I didn't. On this, I do this, and on, you know, there's this part of life, and on Wednesday, and there's these projects, and there's this at the school, and the Spanish church, and the office, and their staff, and then, you know, Saturday sermon prep, and Sunday somebody's got to get up here and preach the thing, and then we have, like, all this, and there's three projects that need special attention, and two small groups, and a partridge in a pear tree. Come on, somebody. Like, it's just, why do you think, like, I would have the passion to go after that? Maybe it's because I'm so bad at it myself. Maybe it's something that I would be passionate about because I'm vulnerable there. Now, listen, this is, what I'm not saying is if you confront somebody about, like, I don't know, smuggling illegal drugs or something, that in 3 months you will also be a drug smuggler. That's not what I'm talking about, all right? I'm just saying you have to be cautious. Guard your heart. Take heed lest you fall. Anyone standing firm, anyone confronting where the sin of pride could creep in, well, I am the Holy One to help them. No. Be careful. Lest you fall. Be careful. We're going to confront. It's going to always be with the goal of restoration. We're going to always pray, Lord, guard my heart. Be careful that we don't fall. The third prayer today, if you're taking notes, we're going to land this thing here. Jot it down, number three, then. God, help me realize when I'm the hypocrite. If we're going to live this life following Jesus, Lord, help me see when the bottom line, listen, we are all one of these people one time or another. We can all be hypocritical. In fact, when Jesus was talking to the hypocrites, he would look at the Pharisees and he would call them blind guides. He'd say, you're trying to lead people, but you're blind yourself. Because listen to me, hypocrisy is always, it's nearly impossible to see in the mirror. It's so hard to see in ourselves. It's so difficult. And there's no better example than in the Old Testament. If you've been around church world, you may have heard this story before. But this story, King David, he's leading the kingdom of Israel. And the Bible says he's the king, but during times of war, when kings go to war, he doesn't go. And so he's not where he's supposed to be. And so in this season where he's not where he's supposed to be, and that'll preach all by itself, but he's not where he is supposed to be. It says he sees something he's not supposed to see. And when he sees something he's not supposed to see, he does something he's not supposed to do. David's on top of his palace. He sees Bathsheba. He tells his guys, hey, go get her. Commits adultery with her. Gets her pregnant, and now suddenly he's panicking. He feels trapped, and so he sends to his commanders. Her husband Uriah is out in the army. He says, put him on the front lines. He essentially murders him and thinks he gets away with it. So all of a sudden, one day, there's a knock at the palace door, and old Nathan the prophet shows up. And Nathan comes into David, and it's almost like he's like, he can't wait to tell him. He's like, David, I need to tell you a story. It's like he's telling him, I saw something. It's basically how he sets this up in the nation of Israel. I saw something that I need to tell the king about. And he says, David, there were two men, and one was incredibly rich, thousands of sheep, all of these possessions, more than you could count. But the other was incredibly poor, and he lived nearby, and he had one little lamb, and he loved this lamb. He loved him more than anything else, like a child to him. He fed him from his hand. He loved this lamb, but all he had was the one. And Nathan's telling David, David, it's incredible. A man shows up at the rich guy's house and he's hungry and he's been traveling far. And the rich guy, he steps over all of his sheep and all his lambs and he goes to the poor guy's house. He leaves all his stuff and he takes the poor man's lamb and he kills it and he feeds it to the traveler. And David hears this story, what he thinks has just happened in his kingdom, what he thinks this man has just done, and he explodes. He's just so incredibly angry. He's like, I've never heard something so incredibly wrong. And in anger, he responds. I want you to see what he says to Nathan. 2 Samuel chapter 12. David burns with anger. Remember, he thinks this has just happened in his kingdom. And he says to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for this lamb four times over because he did such a thing and he had no pity. And then Nathan the prophet, he looks at David, the offender, and he says, Atah Ish, that's Hebrew for you are the man. He looks David in the eye, he says, David, you are the hypocrite. You're the one. You are the man. The Lord God of Israel says, I anointed and I blessed and I gave you everything you could possibly want. And you're the one. You are the man. You're the hypocrite. You're the offender. And I guarantee you, over and over and over again, we are saying one thing with our lips. We are doing something else with our hearts. And God is pointing the finger and saying, you are the man. You are the woman. You are the hypocrite. You want to talk about hypocrisy? This is why Jesus said, why do you go around straining, trying to get the speck out of your brother's eye when you have the honking log sticking out of your own? You've got like a tree coming out and you can't wait to try to get the speck. One of the best things we can do as Christians is stop being the Christian police going around and trying to pick every little thing that honestly doesn't matter in the long run when we're the ones who have the hypocrisy eating in our hearts. We try to pick out things in our brother or our sister's lives when instead we should be praying, God, show me my own hypocrisy. And I promise if we pray that, he will. If we pray that prayer, God, reveal something. In fact, I'm praying today that the Holy Spirit, the conviction would fall on some of us. That God would begin to point out hypocrisy in our own life. It may be like, hey, I'm Christian guy. I got everything together. Hallelujah, praise God. And you're looking at porn every night. Pornography has a grip on your life. Or you're saying, hey, I'm Christian woman. I'm a spiritual. And yet every chance you get, you're criticizing your husband or your kids and you're picking apart your family. It's hypocrisy. Or you say, I've got it all together. I've got all these things. What is it? It's hypocrisy. You want to talk about hypocrisy? I'm confronting people about the way they spend their schedule. I'm talking to people about how they need to be more holy and how they need to spend more time and pay more attention to their families and to their... I'm pointing the finger and there are countless fingers pointing back at myself. Every time you point your finger, I promise you, God will show you 5, 6 different ways in your own life that hypocrisy has taken hold. What is it? It's hypocrisy. God, show me my own heart. God, show me where my heart has drifted. And when David realized that he was the hypocrite, when he suddenly, for the first time, finally saw clearly what he had done. The Bible says he goes before the Lord. And Psalms 51 is the psalm that he writes at this moment. It's incredible we get to see. You read the Psalms, I don't know how you read them, but it's incredible we get to see David's prayer in this moment. When he finally sees it, he sees his own hypocrisy. He goes before God, and what does he say? Psalms 51, he says, God, create in me a pure heart, O God. He's not up in arms. He's not offended that anyone would happen. He's not, God has shown him. And I just pray that when we see it, when we come face to face with our own hypocrisy, that we would pray a prayer like David. That he says, create in me a pure heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Some of you today, I'm praying the Spirit of God will convict us of hypocrisy. And when he does, we will go before him in humility and brokenness. And say, create in me a pure heart. God, I don't want my lips to say one thing and my heart to be far from you. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Because unfortunately, I am one of those hypocritical people. Bow your heads with me as we pray today. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would do a work in our hearts. Lord, that it can be so hard to see sometimes, but I pray, God, open our eyes to see our own hypocrisy. Lord, I pray, start in me. Lord, I'm not pointing any fingers, Father. Start in my own life. Show me the areas that I have messed up, God. Show me where I've screwed it all up, Father. Show me where I've said one thing, but I've lived entirely different, God. Break us on the altar. Show us our hypocrisy. We pray it, Lord. Holy Spirit, make us more and more like Jesus. Listen, church, as you pray today, there are some of you right now that God has clearly convicted of sin. Now listen to me. In this moment, you're going to repent. You're going to cry out to God. He's forgiven you in Christ Jesus, and you're going to be made new. Others of you, you say, well, I really, really want to be like Jesus. So I want to pray a prayer of God. Show me where they may be. Listen, you pray that prayer, I promise you, he will bring things to light. And listen, more than any other person, more than any other intent of any pastor, friend, teacher, more than any other person, I promise you, God's goal is restoration. I promise you, his goal is healing. That he may break you, but it is always his goal to restore. That he loves you more than I could possibly love you. He loves you more than anybody around you. That if he confronts you in your hypocrisy, if he brings it to light, it's not so he can break you and leave you. It's so he can restore you that he can heal you because his plan for you is still good. And so some of you today, that's the prayer you need to pray. God, if there's any area that's inconsistent with your word, if there's any area that I am the hypocrite, show me. Bring it to light. Create in me a pure heart that my life would glorify you in every single way. As you keep praying today, there's some of you, I talked a lot, I know, to Christians today. That was kind of the intent. I know that today, but some of you are like, hey, I'm not following Jesus. I'm not even in that space. If you're honest, just call it what it is. You're not following God. You've kind of been on the fence, or maybe you're 1,000 miles away from the fence, or maybe you say, I'm further than I've ever been. Call it what it is. Right now, I want to offer you an invitation. That the same God that breaks and restores, the same God that has a great purpose, is the same God that loves you. Unless you may be listening to this and think, well, okay, I've heard all these things about Christian. Well, what I need to do to get to God? If I really wanted to get to him, I need to clean myself up. I need to get rid of all this sin and hypocrisy, all these things that Pastor talked about. I need to clean all that up, and then maybe I can show up. No. You've got the process backwards. Listen to me. You can never, ever clean yourself up enough for God to accept you. So, like, get that out of your mind already. You can never get yourself so much together for God to accept you. Just go ahead and wipe that out. Now, listen to me. What does God want? And this may come as a shock to you. Maybe nobody's ever told you. What does God want? God wants you. With all your sin and all your hypocrisy, he wants you to come to him. Because that's all of us. None of us are good enough to make it. None of us have done enough to clean ourselves. None of us. In fact, the Bible says even those of us who count it righteous, all our righteousness is filthy rags. All of the things we've tried to do, all of that is filthy even in and of itself. So listen to me. Listen to me. God wants you. He wants you, with all of your sin, with all of your hypocrisy, to come to him. Because you want to know the good news. The good news is God already did what we could not do. The Bible says the Father sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life, to die on a cross, to pay for all of those sins that we can't clean ourselves. To pay for all of the mistakes that we've made. To die on a cross, to pay for all of our hypocrisy. To pay the price for the sins that we committed. The Bible says he carried those sins and he nailed them to the cross, but then he didn't stay dead. No, the Bible says he was raised from the dead, that anyone, including you and including me, the hypocrite that I am, that anyone could call on the name of Jesus and be saved. And so right now you have an opportunity. Right now you have a prayer of surrender. And it is our church's honor. We will pray this prayer with every single person until we make it to heaven. We will pray it with every person that we meet that wants to surrender their life to Christ. It is our honor. And so I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I'm not making you come to the front. I'm not in this thing to embarrass you or call you out. Right now, you get to make a decision. Right now, you get to make the call for your life. And there are times to go public with your faith. It would be our honor to baptize you, for you to tell the church, this is what I have decided. But right now, you have to make the decision. So come on, church, let's pray this with every person. Nobody prays alone. Pray this prayer right now. If you want to pray of surrender, or if you're in the church and you want to pray with those who are making this decision, pray this prayer right now. Say, Jesus, save me of all of my sin, of all my mistakes. Forgive me. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And I make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. And all God's church said amen and amen. Come on, church, can we give God praise for what he's done today?